How the bloody hell are you? Hey, my name is Nathan Craik, and hey, I'm here with my co-host and race mentor, Rob, the breakaway Professor Bane. Welcome to In the Drops. We are a Zwift-centric weekly podcast where we get together and discuss the world of indoor cycling, new technology, racing strategies, as well as hints and tips for both new and expert riders alike. Now, Rob, in this show, we're actually going to be an amazing show. We are so lucky to have the winner of the 2023 Zwift Academy, the amazing Maddie Leroux, joining us as our special guest. We're going to check out what it takes to complete a triple virtual Everest. And Rob, you're going to take us through this week's Zed Racing route, the Seaside Sprint on the inside line. Now, don't forget, this week, in this week's quiz, we've got how well do you know the Paris-Roubaix? For those that are watching and for those that have watched in the past, I'm going to sneak some answers in throughout the show. So make sure that you're paying attention. And for the early joiners that have just joined us, Lee, Janice, Peter, I'm going to give you the answer to one of the questions right now. I'm not going to give you the question, but the answer is 29. Okay, so write that down. Hey, if you're watching us for the first time on your favorite podcast or listening to us on your favorite podcast platform, thanks very much. Do yourself a favor, head on over to our YouTube channel at In the Drops so you can watch along and you can check out the different videos that we share and talk about. Also, we've got a new Discord channel. So I've put the link to that Discord channel in the description below. You can go and check that out. We can continue the conversation on after we finish this. So it's time to get out of the saddle and in the drops. Now, Rob, how are you? How's your week been?
I don't like to exaggerate or be prone to hyperbole, but I think I'm about as excited as I possibly can be. This is going to be amazing. Got Maddie Leroux. Got Maddie Leroux.
But also
new host.
And a new host too.
Be so the best podcast in the universe ever for the history of time and for eternity until the universe suffers a heat death. That's how good this is going to be. It's not just Swift podcast, the best podcast ever.
Well, we are the number one podcast on YouTube. Hey,
damn right.
I got to say, I am a little bit nervous too because there's a lot of stuff going on. And yeah. I want to make sure that we get this all right. So what do you want to do? Do you want to just dawdle and talk about some rubbishy stuff? Or do we want to introduce our new host?
Ooh, that's a tricky one. That's a tricky one. Let's get him in.
All right, here we go. We're going to introduce our new host, Ryan Condon. Ryan, welcome. Yay! Welcome to the show.
All right, guys. I'm pleased to be here. A delayed round of applause.
It was just sinking in.
Yeah, Ryan. That suits my sprint as well. Delayed sprint, delayed round of applause. I'm pleased to be here, guys. I'm pleased to be here.
But then you bring it home at the end there, that's for sure. Hey, mate, I really want to say thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Nathan.
We had a bit of we've sort of been chatting about this, and it was awesome that Ryan felt that he has some time to join us on the show. You make some really incredible videos, some epic challenges. If you haven't come across Ryan's channel before, it's in the description below of the video. Go and check out his channel. Go and watch his videos. They are really spectacular in terms of the effort and the what would you say, Rob? The
insight,
effort and
insight.
Yeah, insight.
And, you know, insight into the human condition. You know,
exactly.
Explores the very depths of humanity. Awesome guy. And I love talking to him.
Yeah, and he's fantastic. And so we're really pleased to have you on the show, Ryan. So thank you very much again. So,
cheers, guys. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm pleased to be here.
Excellent. So as I mentioned to everyone in the stream there, we're getting lots of top blokes and the quality and things like this in the stream, which is awesome.
Can I just say, before the show starts, before you kick off, I'm in charge of responding in chat. Okay, so just want to let everyone know that's watching. That's what I'm doing now.
Okay, so if you start talking smack about Ryan, he's just going to boot you straight out. Is that right?
No. Along those lines, something like that.
As I mentioned, we've got our In the Drops Discord channel, so we're going to be putting a lot more of our information and what we do in there. if anyone does have suggestions, ideas, things they want to recommend to us, drop into the Discord channel and put it in there, and you'll be able to chat with us all in that space. But Ryan, this is incredible. You've got an Out for Swift event coming up on the Friday the 19th. That's right, isn't
it? Friday the 19th. Yep, 7 o'clock UK time.
What is that about?
So I don't know what I've let myself in for. It is a climb up Out to Swift in race format, which I'm not sure if the two things actually go together. But I've managed to convince Eric Lee, and I'm going to give him a plug here because he's on next week's show. Eric Lee from Don't Get Drop Cycling on YouTube. Check his channel out. He's an awesome, awesome Zwifter. I've been a viewer of his channel for a long time, and I have managed to convince him to to pace me up the Alp. It was actually his idea. I asked him if he wouldn't mind coming to do a pacing video slash race with me. But he's agreed. He came up with the idea to race up the Alp, and I'll put it out on a YouTube video, offered it up to people to sign up to the race. It was open on Zwift.
Yep.
And we reached 200 participants about an hour ago.
It was incredible. I can't believe.
A week before an event.
Incredible. You're right in saying that Zwift should get you on the payroll, because I think single-handedly you're generating bigger interest in your events than Zwift get in a bunch of their other ones. So I think that's fantastic. In actual fact, we were talking about it before the show. There's about 203 at the moment.
Yeah, mental. What have I let myself in for?
204. And I'm surprised to see there's actually a bunch of Australians in there too. For those that haven't quite worked out the time zoning, it will be about 4 a.m. here in Australia when we jump on the bike. So that is going to be spicy. And as I said before, don't talk to me for the first 15, 20 minutes, because I'll be salty AF.
Yeah. And then to add to that, don't talk to me after that, because I'll be halfway up the Alp, hopefully.
So, as I said, the link to that event is in the description of the video. So if you're interested in joining, click on that. You'll be able to sign up. It is an open category race, so everyone's in the same pen. Is that right, Ryan?
Everyone starts in the same pen. It's in category E, so everyone's welcome. And I want everyone, if I can use this to plug it very, very quickly, I'd love everyone to race their absolute max effort as well. I want it to be a race, and I want some PBs to be smashed as well.
Yep. It's going to be fun. As fun as riding up the Zwift, Alp to Zwift can be.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a supper fest. And I just want to say thank you to Eric as well for doing this next week. I massively appreciate it, because I know you're in the chat and I know you're watching. So
thank
you, sir.
Now, I came across something very interesting in my YouTube travels this week. There is a new definitive list of Zwift YouTubing channel excellence, and we aren't on it. So I came across Zwifting with Granny.
How could it be definitive if we're not on it?
I know. Yeah. This is what I was really surprised about. I thought it was just a given that we should be on every list that there is. So Zwifting with Granny, she's a wonderful lady, does a bunch of Zwifting on online. Where else would you do it? Does a bunch of Zwifting, and I noticed that in her video descriptions, there's a bunch of channels that she gives a shout out to. So Ollie Moore's there, Doom Guy was there, Eric. Yep, Eric's there.
Okay, we've done a little bit of this more. Every now and then, Ryan, Nathan chooses to use this podcast to grieve against his personal grievances against various individuals. He's gone after Zwift Insider. He's gone after Zwifting with Granny. Basically, everyone loves, everyone in the Zwift community, Nathan just targets them right
because they haven't mentioned that. Yeah.
Great. Yeah.
I get it. I have got one question about that list, though. You mentioned that ITD isn't there. Where is, I can't see Zwifty Zwifter either.
No, he's not there either.
Surely has to be at the top of any Zwifting list.
I featured one of her videos in my recons as well, but I can't argue with that list. I can't say that I deserve.
I've got a massive problem. If there's no Zwifty Zwifter on there, I'm not having it. It's not a list. It's not definitive. I agree with this grievance.
So what I was going to do was I was going to ask the people that are watching here, in your travels, if you can reach out to go and see at Zwifting with Granny, go and like her videos, go and subscribe to her, drop her a message and let her know about us and get her to add
don't
us to that list.
Don't send a gang to harass her.
It's not harass a gang. It's a
granny. It's a, like a online,
no, it's a
an online mob. You're sending a mob after her.
It's stop a representation. It. It's a representation.
You're encouraging a mob. Stop it.
No, I'm not doing that at all.
Against the most beloved Zwifter in the YouTube universe. You're sending a mob after her. Stop it.
So go and do that for us. Now, in other news, Mike Haney. So Mike Haney from Zwifterlizer. Now, we had Mike on the show a couple of weeks back. Awesome guy.
Oh, isn't Mike great? I love Mike.
He's really awesome. And so for those that maybe aren't across Mike, he runs the website Zwifterlizer, where he takes in all of the data he can get his hands on to help with troubleshooting connection issues that people have, Bluetooth issues that people have, that type of stuff. And just recently, he hit 1,000 subscribers on his YouTube channel, which is fantastic. So that was that's really great. So
good for him.
Yeah, yeah.
We should hit 1,000. That's what we should do.
It's a good idea, isn't it? Are we close?
Yeah.
Can we?
All people who aren't subscribed, go and subscribe now.
We need to clip that. We need to clip that. As he's vaping, we need to hit 1,000 subscribers. I completely agree.
Yeah. So we're very close.
Yeah, go and subscribe. Yeah, Maddie, can you get your family to do it as well? If you brought them to the show.
So thanks, Mike. Congratulations. And keep it up. Oh, Eric Bunnett's there. Rob. June Elm. Tell us, take us through what June just recently did.
I logged on, I think it was Saturday morning, and I did a race. I didn't even win it. And then I went to just see who was doing stuff, and I saw June was there. And so I joined her, and she'd done something like 180K or something. And she was on the Alp. And then on Sunday night, Monday morning, she was still going. She was still going up and down the blink of the Alp. I can't even bear going up it once, even if all my friends are doing it next Friday. But June did a triple Everest. Triple Everest. The first woman ever to do a triple Everest.
Is that right?
Indoors. Yeah. One
no
woman
way.
Done it outdoors.
Because I was wondering
June
about that.
June was the first person to do I'm not sure if it's the first virtual Everest, but certainly the first on Zwift.
Get the out of here.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was that.
Look at that. 62 hours. 62 hours? 62 hours.
Yeah. 27,000
meters.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's three times. That's greater than three Everest.
Yeah, it's an extra
664 kilometers.
An extra 500 meters, I think she did to knock that one out.
Yeah.
So, and I think I saw June in the stream there. Hi, June. How are you? Thanks very much.
We should
for
call her Queen June now. You shouldn't just be allowed to call her June. It doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
It's like Queen June. You know,
Some sort of
June.
Title.
Yeah.
We've got to come up with a
That's
title.
That's just incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. We've got to see what we can do about that. But I did see Rob that you included a couple of other clips there. What were they?
So one of them is called Nathan Beat in June again. So June just approaching her final ascent of June approaching her final ascent, and obviously Nathan had put in the hard yards to support her. You know, lots of people joined for an hour or two to help her up that epic ride. How long did you do, Nathan?
59 seconds, 1 minute.
Oh yeah, nice. You obviously boost, you know, forcing her to up the pace as well. That was nice. She's only been going for 62 hours, so you know she probably needs an injection of pace at this stage, which you gave her. That was nice. And then
quickly jumping into this stream.
Hang on, I'll mute that.
June.
Yeah, keep going.
And just trying to drag her a bit faster up the Alp, you know, giving her one watts draft, maybe, if that. Yeah. She obviously wants to stay with you because she's lovely. She's like, oh, great, Nathan's here, pushing it along. Right, well, I'll go ahead. I'll go ahead because obviously I want to take the glory of the fire. You know, Jude's like, oh, it's my ascent of the Alp. I want to take the glory. So just approaching the flat bit. Oh, been going for 62.5 hours. Oh, no, Nathan's taking the front again. Oh, okay. Right, so, you know, Nathan had denied her first win in the FRR, by the way. He stomped her in the finish. She'd been seeking her first win for a long, long time, and Nathan crushed her. So he's kind of luring her in here. See, it's a clever tactic that he's got here. So making her think that she's in within range. Drops his wattage a bit.
Look, please tell me. Down. Please tell me he's about to drop an 800-watt sprint in a minute.
So as you know, the top of the Alp, there's a bit of a flat bit coming, and you know his raw watts at the top.
He's even weaving. He's even weaving with the steering.
Get out of my draft, Alp.
He's trying to knock her off.
Lazy cyclist. Get out of my draft. Right. So you lose her in here. 84 watts. Yeah. Come on. Go on, June, you can finish. Take all the glory.
Look at the gap.
Go on, June. Go forward.
There's a 5 meter gap there.
And she just gets on his shoulder. Watch. She just gets on his shoulder and he's like, No, 240 watts. Boom! Take that, Alm. Kaboom! Cannot catch me. Oh, that was a great sprint, Nathan. You really, really put it to her there. I'm sure she appreciated the support though.
You know, I was going to delete that video because I thought this might happen. It was entirely unintentional. I'm sorry, June. I really am. And I was messaging her to see how long to go because I would have stopped. I thought she still had a couple more laps to go. I didn't know. So I'm sorry, June. I do apologize for that. Yeah.
Well, you put in the hard yards. You put in the work. You deserved it.
Yes. No, you're right. Sorry. That was my bad.
Okay, let's get moving.
All right. So let's get our guest in. She's the winner of the 2023 Zwift Academy. All around amazing person. Let's play an intro. Loud.
Do it my own, it's okay.
Hey Maddie, thanks for joining us.
It's Maddie LaRue.
Hi Maddie.
It's incredible. Thanks. Hi. As I said, you're our first real life international professional cyclist we've actually had on this podcast. So really appreciate your time. Thanks so much for joining us. How have you been?
I'm getting ready for my second race with the new team this weekend. So, yeah, can't complain. Race week.
Oh, okay. Which race is that?
GP Chambéry in France on Sunday.
Oh, nice.
Oh, fantastic.
That's going to sound
We've interrupted wonderful. Your training with a podcast.
Yeah, that's
to
right.
Ask you some questions.
Oh, no. It's evening. I'm done training for today. It's
that's
fine.
Okay, then.
Hey, so let's circle back now. You did, for those that, maybe haven't watched, Chasing Down a Dream, which is the series that came out about the Zwift Academy and the people that, had been selected. I've got a little intro here just to refresh everyone's memory.
Over 100,000 people started the Zwift Academy and we're down to just 6, 3 men and 3 women. And they'll be here with 2 of the biggest teams in the men's and women's World Tour.
I have to say it, this is the best level that I saw the last 3 to 4 years.
Because I've had people in my life saying that you don't have what it takes, that was like a knife to the heart.
It's about who crosses the line in the fastest possible time.
Congratulations.
And welcome to the team.
I've just got to know, what did it feel like when you found out you were selected for this?
For the final or that I won?
Oh, no, for the final initially.
It was like a Christmas present because it was literally like 2 days before Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it was quite funny because I almost didn't finish Zwift Academy. So, yeah.
Why? What happened?
No, nothing. Like, I started Zwift Academy as a way of trying to find my way back to Europe.
Okay. Yep,
because
yep.
I couldn't find a team for this season.
Yep. Okay.
But then I got a spot on a French club team. And I got the Cyclist Alliance Strava grant. So I was like, oh, okay, I already found my way back to Europe now. I no need to finish Zwift Academy. But then I got the email from Zwift saying, listen, you've made the long list. Can you please answer these questions and make sure you finish the workouts? And I was like, oh, damn, now I actually have to finish
now
this.
Now you're committed.
Yeah, well, yeah. My coach convinced me to finish them. So
fantastic.
And
I didn't actually watch the I didn't take part in all that training, Zwift Academy stuff. I think maybe just some of the races, but was there were workouts as well you had to do, or?
Yeah, there were 6 workouts and 2 races, and let me tell you, the workouts were really tough. So I mean, I did the first one, and then the second one was at the start of a race week back in South Africa, and I failed it absolutely miserably. And that's where I was like, oh no, well, this is not for me, because I did it a couple of years ago as well and only made it to the long list. And I'm like, well, these things never happened to me. Why should I finish? Like, what are the chances? And then here we are.
and so
then you did make it.
Yeah, as I said.
And
saying.
Obviously you went on to win, so your preparation for the, you know, the finals must have been pretty much perfect, right?
Not perfect at all.
No?
I got sick like maybe a week and a half before I was supposed to leave for the finals. So there was like 3 or 4 days out of training. Okay. And then as I got back to training again, well, some resemblance of cycling, yep. I actually got hit by a car while out riding. Luckily, minimal damage, just a little bit of bike damage, but and okay. A very big fright. But yeah, otherwise fine. And then when I arrived at the Nationals week, I had a bit of a tooth infection, and I don't advise this for anyone. Please, please don't follow my example. But extreme cases calls for extreme, how you say it? It had to be done. Yeah. So I was, was on
antibiotics.
You got a chisel
and just smacked it out.
I was going to say.
I wish I need to get this tooth out. It's like, it already got infected again, but I was on antibiotics for that whole week off the finals week. So,
I was going to say, I was waiting to hear, I've got a pair of pliers and just pulled it out. That's dedication to the sport. But, that wasn't it. So what was it like being sort of in the mix then with the other we know that you won, but with the other people that had also been selected, going up against them, doing those, that was basically back-to-back race testing over 4 or 5 days for the academy. What was that like?
So it was like 4 days. But I know everyone keeps asking me, like, weren't you like really stressed and nervous? Yep. And how was the competition? Like, it must have been really hard. But if I'm completely honest, I was strangely very relaxed. Like, it felt like a training camp to me. I really enjoyed it. I wish it was more than 4 days. It could have been 2 weeks. That would have been fantastic for me.
And so do you think that played a lot into being able just keeping your composure played a lot into being able to win this?
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I've been working a lot with a sports psychologist the last 2 years.
Okay.
And really working on staying present and in the moment, and not, like, how she would put it, time traveling to the could have, would have, should have.
Yep.
The fact that they didn't really tell us what was ahead in the challenges, so we literally found out in the moment or the morning of, I think that kind of also helped to like keep yourself present and not overthink everything that was supposed to happen. But yeah, I can't really tell you how I was able to do this, because normally I'm a very stressful and anxious person.
Yep.
And this was quite strange even for me. Like, I was like, what's wrong with me? Why am I not like, isn't this important?
Yeah.
I should be like freaking out by now.
But that probably comes down to your training though, doesn't it? I mean, they always say that if you get your training right, when it actually comes, I mean, I'm talking as if I actually know what I'm talking about here, but they always say, as you know, if you get your training right, when it actually comes to the race, it's just a lap of honor then, isn't it? Really? You go out there and do what you've done in training.
Then like almost like muscle memory.
Yeah, well, if you trust your training and you trust your preparation, then essentially the racing is the easy part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched the interview you did with your trainers on your trainers podcast. Terry, you said his name was, I think.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously you guys have a fantastic working relationship there and it works out really well. How did you meet your trainer? How did the training go with him?
Yeah, we actually only started working together like around October last year. So for those who don't know, I was at the World Cycling Center for the last 2 years, part of the Women's Continental Team based out of Switzerland. And during the time there, we stay in this kind of hostel, all the athletes and then the coaches and the staff that come for training and the UCI courses, they also stay there from time to time. And funny enough, Terry was there for a course and we kind of met there and got to talking and kind of click. Like, obviously at this time we didn't know we're going to be coach athlete relationship, but we did some rides together, and he also comes from a triathlon background, as I was a triathlete before. So we kind of clicked on this too. And yeah, I think our personalities just clicked. And when I came home end of last year, I was kind of like in a little bit of a downward spiral, not knowing, am I going to continue cycling? Am I going to take quote unquote a real job? what am I supposed to do? I don't have a coach. I don't have a team. I have no idea what I'm doing with my life. And then funny enough, he reached out and asked, how's going and what are my plans for going forward? And me being the overshare I can sometimes be, if I really trust people, I told my story, and he's like, well, he'd love to work with me and help me out if I wanted. And
it's obviously worked, isn't it? It's paid dividends, really.
Yeah, I mean, like, look what we've achieved in this now 5 months or so that we've worked together.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's amazing.
Well, you must have been almost there, because he said, I think he said he knew that he was gonna you were gonna be a future superstar before you didn't start working together.
I hope I can make that true, but obviously that's still a long way to go.
So your hero, is it true that your hero is Ashley Mullen Passio?
Well, she's one of many. I have a few. Yeah. But
you wanted to emulate her in some way, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I mean, she is the one that kind of helped me get into Europe. So I hope that that one day I could be someone's Ashley as well.
You mentioned, just while we're talking about training, you mentioned, because I'm quite a keen runner, and I'm in a unique position where I got into Zwifting because of my running. And it's a long story. I won't go into that now. But you mentioned about your triathlon. And when I watched your interview with your coach, he was actually telling you off about how much running you do as well as your cycling. And he wants you to rein that in because he's worried about the exhaustion, I assume, and burnout. So do you still run? And if so, how do you balance that?
A coach might be watching, though.
He is for sure watching, because I sent him the link.
Oh, okay. In which case, probably don't answer it. Just say you do a park run once a month.
No, I mean, it's on Training Peaks and it's on Strava, so I mean, I don't hide anything.
Yeah.
I went for a run this morning, as recently as that. No, I still run from time to time, like maybe 3 or 4 times a week or sometimes less, but I never really plan on how long, and I don't put pressure on myself for going fast. It's literally just, for me, it's about, it's good for my head. It's of course, thinking time. And at the moment, I know maybe sometimes I shouldn't run so much, but I try and not to do it on the days or the days before I have really hard specific sessions. But I do feel like my legs feel better afterwards, and I feel like I'm ready to take on the day sometimes if I go in the morning. And like I said, at the moment, it's really good for my head because I am sitting with a little bit of the family situation with my mom, which who just passed away about a month ago. So for me, it just helps clear the thoughts and be okay.
Sorry to hear that.
No, absolutely. It's we're very sorry to hear that. And you know, we read your article that you have on your Instagram account. Where it goes into a deep dive around the backstory of, you know, how you got into the sport and the motivation, which I thought was, you know, phenomenal, you know, fantastic story. So kudos to you as well for finding that level of motivation.
We
probably should say as well that if there's a bit of background noise for those that are watching, you're actually in your training camp now with your colleagues, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm in an apartment in Girona with the two housemates.
So,
And this is not a wall.
It's hiding. It's hiding.
No soundproofing.
Hiding their cooking in the background. So look,
Are all South Africans quite so competitive and like multi-sported? Every South African, I know, like, oh, what sport do you play? Oh, I play a bit of cricket, rugby, running. Oh, I like cycling, rowing, a bit of hopping, and you know, I occasionally jump over walls. I, like, you do everything. Like, have you always? Like your dad seemed like that as well. He was like, I don't know.
Like in school, if you had asked me this question, I would have said yes, because in at least in primary school, I did every single sport I could possibly do, like hockey, tennis, netball, cross country, athletics, swimming. Like literally, I was in school the whole day, not for school, but half school, half sport. But then later on, I started focusing more on specific disciplines and
just three sports.
Well, it's funny enough, like when I was doing triathlon, people used to tell me, like, maybe if you focused a little bit more on your cycling, you could actually get somewhere with it. But I always thought, like, these people are crazy, don't they understand? Like, one sport's not enough. What would I do with all of my time? Like, what? Like, I don't understand. Like, this is a stupid question or a stupid statement. And like, fast forward a couple of years and here we are.
Because it would have been a bit hairy, I would have thought, training on the roads and riding around in where you live. Was it sort of dangerous? Like every time I've ridden over in Cape Town, it's crazy.
Okay, well, if I can start off by saying Cape Town is the nice part of South Africa. It is the European part of South Africa. I always find it funny when people from Europe or from outside of South Africa say, oh, they came to South Africa. I'm like, okay, where have you been? Cape Town. I'm like,
no, that's not
really
it.
Experienced South Africa. Like, no, you have to go outside of the Western Cape to experience South Africa. No, but I mean, it's what I grew up with. For me, the strange is Europe. So normal is back home where I ride with pepper spray in my pocket. I have WhatsApp live location on permanently. I have certain roads that I'm allowed to ride on. If I go outside of this, then a little bit in trouble. And normal would be, before I came to Europe, I would usually ride with a group of guys because in my town there aren't really female cyclists. So I started riding with guys, and as my dad likes to call them, Maddie's guys. But it sounds better in Afrikaans though. So I started riding with them. But the thing is, in South Africa, and I think it's in Australia probably similar, is that we start training like at 4:30, 5 a.m. in the morning. Like, this is the normal time. And then I come to Europe and I want to, the girls say, oh, we'll start early this morning. And then, like, okay, what time? Like, maybe 9 or 10 a.m. Like, this sorry, this is early? This is late. That's is not early. I don't understand this.
That's like pro hours. That's what that is.
Yeah, well, I'm trying now to... It's like this morning, I'm used to... My internal alarm clock goes off at like 5, 6 a.m. Mm. I'm struggling to sleep past it no matter what time I go to bed.
Yep.
Oh, so, you could domestique for me in my race tomorrow then, if you're
So I wake up at this time, but most of Girona is still asleep, including my housemates. So like this morning, I was like, okay, well, it's nice and quiet. So I went for a nice coffee run. I came back. I had breakfast. My roommates are still asleep. it's like 9:30. It's like, okay, what time? Are we still going to go for a coffee ride, or are we sleeping the whole day?
I think we're starting to understand why you win so many races. So you cycle with bouncers. And you don't sleep. You're out cycling when everyone else is asleep. So, you know, these are the tips. This is why people watch this podcast. Yeah.
The extra work.
Yeah. The hacks that other professional cyclists don't want you to know.
Yeah, fantastic.
So do you think, back to Zwift Academy, do you think you'd have won if you hadn't smoked them in the ITT? Because when I watched it again, I didn't realise quite how much time you put into them. You really did, absolutely. Mm.
Oh, but we also didn't know, because we didn't get any feedback after each challenge. So we also didn't know the times.
And you weren't telling each other, and
No, I didn't even know. Like, I did lap on my computer, but... they also took the coaches by themselves. So we only found out about the times after it got announced that I was the winner. So I didn't realize.
Oh,
but
wow.
To be honest, I started that ITT thinking, oh, my legs feel absolutely crap after the previous night's Zwift race. Like, I'll try and do my best, but I'm not going to kill myself. I'll stay within my comfort or uncomfortably comfort zone.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Blimey. And, well, you certainly smoked them anyway.
Yeah, and absolutely crushed them. So do you still Zwift much now? Because I've looked at your activities and you do a little bit. I mean, you did a 100K sort of ride the other day. But
yeah, because it was raining. I didn't want to wash my bike off if I go out in the rain.
I mean, this is a question that's come in from Lee on the chat. And he's asking, had you ever done much Zwifting before Zwift Academy?
Yeah, so before I actually went to the World Cycling Center, so we'll have to like rewind like maybe 3 years. So I started Zwifting during lockdown and did my first actual 200Ks on Zwift, which I'm sorry, Zwift, but I will never do again because that was absolutely brutal.
Did you hear about Jude's ride?
Yes, I saw those and I was like, oh my soul, I thought I was crazy. That's absolutely insane.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, mad stuff.
She's going for Zwift Academy next, so, you know.
All the best.
Yeah.
So during lockdown, I Zwifted every day. And then after lockdown, I still, like, when I was coaching myself, let's say it's not a good idea that I ever coach myself because I tend to overdo things. But in that period of time, I was like riding maybe 3-4 hours endurance outside in the mornings. And then in the evenings, I would do a really hard indoor session on Zwift. Like, this was like almost on repeat every single day or every second day.
Wow.
And then eventually I started racing for Wahoo Lacolle on Zwift.
Yep.
And helped them qualify for the Grand Prix series. And then so I was quite big on the racing scene there, and was riding at least maybe 5-6 times a week on Zwift.
So you had some quite good results in the Grand Prix as well, didn't you?
But then when I went to the World Cycling Center, it was a little bit difficult to continue Zwifting so much, and wasn't really possible to race because sponsor clashes, team clashes, and obviously my focus had to be more on developing on the road outside, because I want to be a professional outside, Zwifting is great, and it has given me this platform to develop and grow, and I mean, it has opened the door to this this new team.
Not the real thing.
But it's not. Yeah, I don't. I know that they say professional Zwifters will be a thing very soon. Like, you would get paid for it to be a professional Zwifter. But essentially, it's not what I want to do. I want to be a professional road rider. So my focus shifted a bit more to the road. But I try, it's like, I know Ashley always says this as well. Like, I think it's good to keep the Zwift sessions or once or twice a race or so, because the intensity is so much different than outside, and you can get so much work done in a short space of time. And I, especially when I'm at home in South Africa, if, because I can only ride on certain roads, it gets quite boring and it's very flat, and me being a climber, so then I go for if I want a change of scenery, let's say, then then I'll go on Zwift for a bit to do something different.
Absolutely. So, and so final question before we get on to Rob's segment, what Zwift level are you at the moment?
I think it's like 73 or 72, maybe.
I think it might be.
I'm 72.
Well, for those that are watching, like, I think you might be 74. Wink, wink. That's for a bit.
That's for a bit later. Might need that information later.
All right, but Rob, let's just take a sideways step. You were, your breakaways. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I feel absolutely pathetic talking about my breakaway and a B race in Zwift now, but we'll talk about it nevertheless. I love this race. It was ZRL, and I was racing for HCT, who are friends of the show, and I've raced with them a lot. So, yeah, hit play. I don't think there's any sound. Oh, but it was really boring, like, first lap and a half. It was like everyone was going really slow, and I was like, the team orders were sit in, wait for the sprint, because we had the best sprinters, really. And I think here I'm like saying, oh, come on, get on with it, you know, because I've just everyone's got the same thing. It's on Rolling Highlands. So, you know, you've got the postcard climb. And then this guy here, Craig, I can't remember his surname now, Bowles, he just slipped off the front. So I thought I'd test him a bit. And then they just let me go.
Yeah.
Everyone just let me go. So I like put the hammer down on the hill, and it got like 26 seconds by the end of the climb on the first lap. And then I had to rest down the hill. So obviously they caught quite a bit there, but didn't catch completely. And then by the end of I think I still had 26 seconds with 3K to go. But I was so, like, I did my best 5-minute power, best 20-minute power. I was, like, completely dead.
Yeah.
And I just didn't manage my power very well. I was, like, let go completely, like, going down to zero watts down the hill. And then it comes to the end. And this guy Cairns, for some reason, just drives it in, drives everyone into the finish. And I've just got nothing left. Like, that face on me, I'm like, I've got nothing. Absolutely. I can see the coming. And now at this stage, I don't know if I'm going to be 20th or first. So I give the pain on my face there. It was just, I give everything. Now, thankfully, the guy who won was my teammate.
Yeah.
You should have slowed down the ending to that, Rob.
I meant to.
Damn it.
That was an epic finish.
Yeah, I mean, the pain.
I mean, you came third, but yeah.
I put my mic on there for a second. Oh, put the sound back on there. Oh, no, it doesn't matter. I'd already done my best 20 minutes. I'd already done my best 5 minutes to get away from them.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was like absolutely on the edge. And, you know, you just, each one of them should make you want to stop, you know, doing either one of them. But somehow, you know, that pack driving behind you, and, you know, it's a team event. And, you know, if I come 20th, 5th there, you know, I would normally expect in a sprinty type finish like that to be top 10 at least. But, you know, to like give away points to the team for a solo breakaway would just seem just completely pointless.
It was quite
a good race anyway.
I mean, that was an awesome race. And I will just quickly jump in there, Nathan, and say, Maddie, you mentioned about there being potentially professional Zwifters in the future. Rob is actually going for that title, being the first professional Zwifter, because at the moment he's certainly a professional Zwifting streamer. So
all
the best for that. That's going to be some hard work.
I tell people not to subscribe to my channel. I'm like, I'm rubbish. Get off. Unsubscribe. Go and watch something else.
Maddie, do you find occasionally that you want to just sneak into a cheeky race and smash the field?
If it fits into my training, but truth be told, Girona is so nice. Like, if I find a climb, I would climb all day. It's perfect.
Okay. Yeah.
And I can work on my tan lines. Like, I should not show you this, but it looks terrible. But I am, like, kind of proud of them because it takes really hard work.
Oh, yeah.
Tan
lines are a thing of beauty. And so, Rob, so this week, what's Z Racing? We've got the Z Racing Series Lap It Up. Which is the route this week?
Yeah, it's Seaside Sprint, which is pretty dull, but the finish is kind of interesting. And I do pretty well here because I've got a little trick. If you've got good sort of repeatable sprint, then you can win every time here, I think. It's just a less... Just don't tell anyone. That's the key. Don't tell anyone the secret to the Seaside Sprint. So it's got the little rise into the volcano. It's got a flat bit. And then you end up coming through the S's to the finish on the JWB bridge. That picture. I froze that picture, so I had time to talk over it. But I've got extra time to talk without having anything to say. But we've got the footage from my 800th Zwift race. So, and I actually, there was quite a few people in my stream. So it was another one of these where I've like really got the pressure to perform because like, I'd asked everyone to come and watch my 800th race. And like, I completely messed it up. Nerves got to me. I steered out of the draft before I needed to. And then you absolutely hammer it when you come to the big bump before the last big bump. You know, I had a decent sprint in them days as well. Nearly got 1,000 watches. You've really got to keep it down. Use your power up. So this one, you'll have a draft fan or a feather. So try and get a feather and keep the power down until you're over the top. Keep it going until you're maybe up to about 56 kilometers and then get the super turk. You're all on your own. You're still accelerating away from them. Even though you're not pedaling, they're having to work as they come down. Now I just got my virtual gear in here and I choose the highest gear. So I'm at one rev per minute. I can barely turn the pedals. And I haven't got time to change down, but I managed to keep it away. So that's the key really. Sprint up, you put everything into your sprint up the final bump.
Kaboom.
As you come down, get into a super turk, take the lead, and then another little sprint, game over, kaboom.
So how many laps is this one?
I don't know. I knew you were going to ask me that, and I forgot to look. It's a few, two or three. It's about 20K. I don't know.
Yeah, pretty short.
You've got a bit of a monster sprint as well, haven't you, Matty? That's a few.
I've got a sprint, but it could be better. I mean, I'm sure you saw when the sprint challenge, I got absolutely smoked by Cassia. So there's
she's quite good
for development.
But yeah, you beat Lou Bates, didn't you? I think.
Yeah, well, that was in the big Zwifting days. I'm a different rider now. I think I've worked too much on other stuff.
And so just
anything add to my take there on Seaside Sprint? Do you know that one?
Well, it's not a secret anymore, so sorry for that. You just gave it away.
Oh, well, that's the idea, but yeah.
Yeah.
Would you go for a breakaway there? Maybe up at the ramp into the volcano, something like that?
Yeah, that seems decent. I mean, if you don't, you got to roll the dice or you got to risk it to get the biscuit. So, I mean, if you don't try, you'll never know.
Yeah.
It's big year, no fear, all the way. Yeah.
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 And so moving to something that happened just recently, you placed third in the Spanish Cup, which is the Pontevedra.
Yeah, that was unexpected because, I mean, the race was on the Sunday and I arrived in Girona, I think, the Tuesday or so. And I'm like, surely that won't make me race. I just arrived. I'm still trying to find my feet in this place. It's like, I'm running back and forth. I'm getting lost coming in and out of Girona when I'm going training. It's like, yep. Surely.
Had they given you a new bike, like, or did they give you a bike, or did you have to bring one?
No. I got the bike again from the academy. So I have two of these bikes, the Zwift Academy bikes, one for training and then one that's my race bike. So already I feel like I'm kind of standing out in the peloton because I don't even have the same bike as the rest of my teammates. And it's like, oh, everyone make space for the Zwift rider. She doesn't know how to ride in the peloton. But maybe Ouch. That's not such a bad thing because I get more space. But
yeah, wow.
Yeah, don't take her wheel. You don't know what, to, know what she's going to do.
Yeah, exactly.
A little bit sketchy. Sorry, go ahead. Mm-hmm. I was going to say,
no,
was
it was a bit of a... sorry. Yeah.
Was that the plan to sort of go hard on the climb in that race, or was it just sort of find your feet, get used to it, and then work out a strategy after this race?
So my work was to go for the QOM segment, so mm-hmm. points. That would be in the last two laps of yep. the race. So the first couple of laps were very flat, very, very fast. And there was just sprint points. So my job was to try and stay safe until we got to the climb.
Yep.
Which wasn't long. I mean, climb, speed bump, same thing.
I've got your Strava. If that's okay, I've got your Strava screen. Details up on screen there.
I don't hide anything.
Yeah. So there's only 530 meters of climbing, but over 88 kilometers, that would have felt a bit harder than usual.
It felt harder than usual because it was a shock to be back in the European peloton, and I was like yo-yoing off the back in the flat route, flat course, and it was like, shit, what happened to me? I used to be better at this. This is like, what's wrong with you? But truth be told,
she's just like you, Ryan.
But truth be told, my teammates were really great in setting me up for the QRM segments and pushing the pace up the climb. So it was the first time I've actually experienced my team or a team trying to help me in this way.
Wow.
And two of my teammates continuously came back to the peloton. It's like, come sit on my wheel, I'll bring you to the front. And then as I got to the front, then all of a sudden it's like a washing machine effect, like go back again. It's like, oh damn, we lost Maddie, let's go fishing again. It's like, where's Maddie?
but that must be so heartwarming though, if you're just new to the team and they're taking such good care.
They on the last time up the climb, they were pushing absolutely so hard. I mean, even I was dying and I'm like, shit, now I have to take over, but they work so hard for me, I have to do it, like no excuses. I have to just really dig deep, and then I went for it.
It looked like a really impressive, and I've just got some pictures here that I want to bring up while we're talking. So you would have been pretty sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, just while you're doing that, Nathan, just to so you haven't got a multitask, I was just going to say I've shared the link to the Mark Etheridge article that was from Business Live. It's probably one of the best articles I've ever seen written about an athlete at the
I should share that comment with Mark. I'd absolutely love hearing that.
it's a phenomenal article, and I've watched quite a few YouTube videos that have been put together, and I've read quite a few articles, but probably the best one. So I thought I'd just share it in the chat. So anyone that's watching this, or anyone listening live, or even listening on a podcast, definitely check out Maddie's Instagram because the link's on there as well.
Yep.
But yeah, it's a great story.
Fantastic. Oh,
you can see the horrible tan line on the photos. Like, one of my friends actually commented.
Oh, that's a beauty.
He was like asking, did they give you Chloe's bibs, like the short Chloe Nygaard short bibs? I'm like, no. Those are the bips. It's like, I need to work on better tan lines.
Yeah, because you've got a bit of height, especially compared to some of the other riders in the race as well.
Yeah, I'm 179 centimeters. which is tall, but it's not tall enough for that 180 exemption for the TT bike. Like, I fall just one centimeter short for that stupid rule. But yeah.
No, that's, yeah, no, it's a fantastic result.
Because even on that podium, you're stepping down slightly. Yeah. Well.
I was bending down, yes.
You were, yeah, you could see.
Yeah, no, but, yeah, no, that looked like a pretty brutal sort of a race too. So it didn't look like you're having a whole bunch of fun there.
I think bike racing, oh, now you're zooming in. I think bike racing in general is type 2 fun. So this is the same with training fun. Hard intervals. In the moment, you're absolutely hating it. But afterwards, it's like, yes, that's fun. Let's do it again.
Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, look, I do want to do a quick highlight of the Paris-Roubaix, only because, well, the quiz is sort of based on a bit of it as well. So let's quickly check that out. Maddie, did you catch any of the Paris-Roubaix recently or?
Yeah, no, I watched it, and also because I went out early for training with Sarah Gigante so that we make sure we were back for
in time to watch it
when the broadcast started. Yes.
You managed to get someone up.
someone got out a bit early enough. All right. Quickly, just want to go through this because it is very impressive. I've got to say. This year again, so we've got the men's and we've got the women's here. So we'll quickly run through these. We'll take this monument. The route is epic, and today the weather conditions could play a big role. Amongst all this, one name stands out: Mathieu van der Poel. The world champion won in 23 and would dearly love to clinch victory in the Velodrome wearing the rainbow jersey to emulate Lotte Kopecky, winner of Saturday's women's race. After leaving the start in Compiègne with 259.7 kilometers in front of them, the riders will complete 96 kilometers before the first sector, number 29, the Trois-Villes sector in Anchy. 29 unpaved roads for a total of 55.7 kilometers. Hostilities traditionally began in the Wallers Forest, followed this year by the much-discussed chicane created to avoid a full-speed charge into the start of the feared Arenberg Trench. Then around Mont-en-Pavel and the Carrefour de l'Arbre, less than 20 kilometres from the finish, there will be significant traps and also opportunities to attack for the strong men of the peloton before heading towards Roubaix and its famous velodrome. It's a quick start as the riders complete almost 54 kilometres in the first hour of racing. With the wind at their backs, the riders take the opportunity to spin their legs and get into a good rhythm. A fall in the peloton puts several big names in difficulty, including Tim Merlier, Niels Pollitt, Alberto Bettiol and Jonathan Milan, but also Elia Viviani, who was forced to abandon. The lead group extended their advantage a little over the peloton while the interlopers were still fighting to join the seven up front. The gap is around 1 minute and 30 seconds between the first group and the peloton, with the two chasers 30 seconds from the lead. Finally face the first two sectors. The leaders lose around 20 seconds of their advantage, and so begins a race of elimination from the rear of the peloton. In the break, the first to crack is Srdica from the Astana team, who has dropped before sector 27. It's the longest sector of the race at 3.7 kilometers, which allows the peloton to get a little closer to the leading men. The leaders were still averaging more than 52 kilometers per hour after 2 hours of racing. 140 kilometers from the finish before sector 24, the breakaway is over and the race is settled. There are around 30 at the front among the favorites. A group including Laporte, Merlier and Alberto Bettiol is more than 1 minute and 30 seconds behind the leaders, but still strong. Some riders, like Tom Pidcock, are feeling the pace. And after sectors 23 to 21, the second peloton is more than 2 minutes behind.
Is there going to be an almighty crash? Pidcock comes up on the right-hand side, over the tram lines, right-hand turn. Pidcock gets through in fourth place. Van der Poel is in about seventh. And look at the way that everybody is desperately trying to get there.
But you've come to a standstill.
Total standstill round that corner. Van der Poel comes out in fourth. Philipsen in third. Pidcock in fifth. Crucial sector, Mathieu van der Poel makes a smooth acceleration and comes out alone in front of three men. His teammate Philipsen, Tim van Dijk and Mads Pedersen.
After about 10 kilometres, the favourites enter the Orsies sector. Sector 13, not the most complicated, but Mathieu van der Poel chooses to leave the rest of the peloton behind.
Here comes the attack. Mathieu van der Poel. He launched from about five riders back, and here he goes, the rainbow band. It is Mathieu van der Poel at 61 kilometres an hour.
A sharp attack and team tactics behind help to demoralise the pursuers who wish to chase. Van der Poel takes more than a minute and a half in just 15 kilometres. Entering the final 30 kilometres, Laurence Pithy makes a mistake in a tight left-hander. The young New Zealander loses all hope of finishing in the top five as the chase group slip away. Up front, Mathieu van der Poel tackles sectors 5 and 4, the Campfin en Pavel and the Carrefour de l'Arbre sequence, with a considerable lead. More than 2 minutes 30 seconds advantage for the Dutchman, who makes it through this last big challenge without difficulty and heads straight towards the Paris-Roubaix double with around 15 kilometres of racing remaining. In the Groussans sector comes an attack from Philipsen, van der Poel's teammate. Stefan Kuhn cracks. The Groupama FDJ squad will not be on the podium, which is starting to take shape. Niels Pollitt, not the fastest sprinter, may need to attack rather than face Philipsen and Pedersen.
Mathieu van der Poel comes round the final bend in the rainbow jersey as the winner of the 121st Paris-Roubaix, with the crowd absolutely on their feet. It is rainbows in Roubaix. Monumental Mathieu van der Poel wins his second Paris-Roubaix. Here goes Niels Pollitt. Big acceleration from the German rider. Pedersen is getting on the wheel. Philipsen is about to strike on the outside. Niels Pollitt flat out now. Look at Jasper Philipsen looking for a way through. It's going to be 1-2 for Alpecin de Koenig. Pedersen in third place. Pollitt in fourth.
How incredible is that? And the two things I wanted to highlight there was, one, the speed in which Mathieu van der Poel was cruising over those cobbles was just insane. 61 kilometres an hour. He makes it look flat. But more so, that chicane that they introduced before leading into that the cobbled section, what did we think about that? Was that a good idea, or should they have just left it as it was?
I mean, they didn't crash, I suppose. it was a bit crazy, but, you know, it seemed to kind of do the job, I suppose. They wanted to slow them down so they didn't crash. You know, they had to filter them some way. It looked utterly insane the day before, but it seemed to work.
And so Mathieu has won this back-to-back now. So he won it last year and again this year, which has not been done for quite some time.
Yeah, he's a force to be reckoned with, isn't he? I mean, I'm, as a complete cycling novice, I am absolutely blown away by how good that guy is. You know, he's phenomenal. And the thing is, I've been completely obsessed with the Paris-Roubaix. I'm trying very hard not to sound like Del Boy as I pronounce this. But yeah, I've been obsessed with it. And I've watched quite a few YouTube videos, as I do. I can't get over those cobbles. Yeah, there's two things about this race: those cobbles and how close the audience, the spectators, get
to the riders
that are sprinting at the end.
Yeah. Has that, Maddie, does that play a big part, do you think, when you're sort of, you're climbing, you're in the Hurt Locker, and then you've got people sort of kind of in your face as you're racing through? Is that a problem, or does it sort of motivate you to push harder?
Well, I've personally not really have any experience with that yet. But I always think, when I watch the Tour de France at least, it's like, these people are crazy. Like, I feel like they're intruding in my personal bubble. Like, give me some room to breathe, please. It's like, I always think these guys, if they're climbing on the mountains at least, it's like they can't take the shortest route around the corner.
Shortest possible lines.
They can only take the little space that the
spectators that the allow
support yeah exactly
yeah, yeah.
I, that bites me.
That's my personal opinion, but I know some would say, like, in that moment you don't think about this, you just feel like all of that cheering and support is carrying you up the mountain, so
that energy is coming through.
One day, Muddy, there'll be you up the up the afterwards.
I want the polka dot jersey in the Tour de France. The fame of exhaust.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll cheer you on, and if it happens, you've got to come back to us for your first interview.
Deal.
All right. I'll put you to that. And so we also had the
welcome to the fourth edition of Paris-Roubaix Femme avec Zwift. This year, again, uncertainty is the order of the day before the departure of the female version of the Hell of the North. After three crazy races in recent years and three different winners with changing race scenarios, it's impossible to predict with confidence who will finally deliver. Last year, the favourites were surprised, and it was the Canadian Alison Jackson who took the glory after a small group sprint on the...
That velodrome at the end is awesome.
This year, the stars will have to be vigilant, and everyone has been warned. Here's the route of the 2024 edition with expected dry weather and a strong tailwind, which could influence the race average over the planned 148 kilometres. After a circuit around Dinan, the riders will take the cobblestone roads, with the first of 17 sectors appearing after 66 kilometres of racing. There's a total of just over 29 kilometres of unpaved cobbled roads to cover before arriving at the Roubaix Velodrome. Among the most famous and challenging are the sectors of Orchy, Camphin-en-Pévèle, Mons-en-Pévèle, and the formidable Carrefour de l'Arbre. After an early attack at the start of the race, the riders reformed and approached the first paved sector at kilometre 66, almost as one group. The acceleration of the Movistar and the Visma Lisa bike squads caused cracks in the peloton, as many riders sought to reposition themselves before the main hostilities began. Entering the Hornang in Vandigny's sector at nearly 35 kilometres per hour, there are 82 kilometres left to go. The longest sector of the day at 3.7 kilometres coming first. The DSM squad has regained control and the peloton is very stretched. Already, around 30 riders have been dropped. In the third sector, alternating between dusty cobblestones and mud on the sides of the road, the peloton disintegrates and a group formed under the leadership of world champion leaves the sector a little ahead. Alison Jackson is included too, and the outgoing winner tries her luck with an attack on the smooth bitumen before sector 14.
I mean, these riders, they're absolute beasts.
65 kilometres from the finish. And Van Dijk from the Lidl Trek squad then imposed a big tempo, and the selection is made naturally. Only the best can follow, and there are only around 40 of them.
Lotte Kopecky comes to the front, a big acceleration. Pfeiffer Georgie responds, as does Schweinberger, and it's the same three riders every single time up towards the front.
Following Kopecky's acceleration, a strong group breaks away, but there are only five of them, and soon Lorena Vivas struggles to keep up and drops back. The group quickly gains a lead of around 10 seconds, but the junction will be made in the Mons-en-Pévèle sector. The lead group shrinks, and there are barely more than 20 out front. Kopecky also seems in great shape and does not hesitate to accelerate as soon as the road rises a little. Down to the final 40 kilometres, and the thinning out of the leaders continues to take place. At the entrance to Sector 8, Templouve, a rider from FDJ Suez, tries her luck. It's Jade Ville, the 2019 French road race champion, who gains around 15 seconds on the group of favourites. The former French junior cyclocross champion takes advantage of the stalemate in the peloton to carve out a gap before the feared sequence of Camphin-en-Pévèle and Carrefour de l'Arbre sectors. Entering the final 30 kilometres, Sector 6 looms, but the lead drops to just 10 seconds for the FDJ Suez rider, who will be reeled in by the end of this sector, 23 kilometres from the finish. It's the moment chosen by Lidl Trek's Dutch time trial star Ellen van Dijk and her compatriot Amber Krak from FDJ Suez to hit the front. Lotte Kopecky takes the opportunity to set a searing pace, and she is quickly accompanied by Balsamo and Marianne Vos. The three chasers soon join the two Dutch leaders, and the quintet enters the fabled Carrefour de l'Arbre together, the last big sector of the race and the fourth from the finish. British champion Pfeiffer Georgie is fighting to come back to the leaders.
I mean, they're going for it, but they've still got 15k left.
Yeah.
About 10 kilometres from the finish, Balsamo, who had been dropped, returns to the front in the company of DSM's Pfeiffer Georgie, and there were now six out front, around half a minute clear of a group, including star sprinter Lorena Vivas. It's certain now that victory will be...
That's just insane. I mean, that's just...
Crikey.
The power and the positioning there, I don't know. It's, yeah, it's just a whole nother level. It's just incredible.
How would you cope with those cobbles, Maddie?
I wouldn't.
Yeah, stick to the hills.
I was speaking with Sarah the other day. It's like, it's cool to watch, but I don't think... I'm the type of rider.
It's not in your
future. I think I think I need to put on some weight for that, maybe.
Yeah.
It feels like a very aggressive race as well. It looks brutal. Mm.
It's just insane. And the crashes absolutely. And the damage it does to the bikes. But I've got to hand it to Canyon, though. The way that Matthew rode that and the way the bike handled and it remained in one piece at the end there was incredible. So, yeah, hats off to them for developing such an awesome bike.
I mean, The Canyon bikes are awesome. Even mine's like a rocket ship. I love it.
All right. Hey, let's. Hey, it's time for a quiz. Who wants to do a quiz? We want to do a quiz?
Yes.
Yeah,
here we go. Quiz.
Have you got another device, buddy?
My cell phone, yeah.
Get your phone out. So, and just while I get
Google
this.
Google Kahoot.
I get this teed up. This is a quiz we do at the end of each episode. And it allows our viewers to jump in and join in, and we answer a bunch of questions, have a bit of fun there. And I'll bring up the code on the screen in a moment as soon as I hit play.
But this is the part of the show, Maddie, where everyone watching attempts to beat our resident expert, which is Rob, Swifty Swifter Bane. So everyone goes for it here. He pretty much wins every week. I mean, we don't tell people he writes the questions as well.
Oh, okay. Come on, audience. Beat him.
I don't.
I do take great pains to make sure that the questions and the answers are secret. But we have had a bunch of answers in the chat so far today. So for those that were listening, you've already got a good head start. Now, grab your phones, or if you've got a second device, you can scan that QR code there or go to kahoot.it, enter the PIN number, and you'll join the game. You don't have to create an account. You can just put a name in, choose a funny character, and you can get in on this. And so we've got eight so far. Simon, Ryan, Vincent, Ollie's there, Mark, Marky Mark as well.
Awesome. I don't know how his FRR is. His race went earlier. He was in FRR.
Yeah, and I do have a ladder going at the moment. I will update that and publish that after this this one.
And I will say as well, just to add to that, that Maddie, there's quite a few of your friends in the chat that we can see saying hi. So we're hoping that they're going to join in on the Kahoot quiz as well.
Yeah, like I'm scared to join because it's going to show how much I listened to. How much I know.
Trust me. Look, the great thing is they're multiple choice questions, so you've got a fairly good chance of getting it right. But also, I just want to remind everyone that not only do you get points for getting the correct answer, but also you get points for being fast as well. So the sooner you can answer it, the more points you get too. So Mads is in. Right. June's there as well. Oh, June's looking to... stamp her authority on this, I bet.
Yeah.
Okay. Snail as well. Gosh, 14. Jaxa. Oh, MVDP. Rob, where are we with this? Have we found out who MVDP is yet?
No, he hasn't come forward.
No?
This is an ongoing thing, Maddie. There's a guy that's anonymous. He's gone in as Matthew Van Der Poel on the quiz. And Rob
unless
it
is Matthew Van Der Poel,
then
we're going to be really embarrassed.
I mean, are you sure it's a guy? Maybe it's a girl.
It could be a girl. It could be, yep. Yep.
Yeah.
It would be, how sensational would it be if it was Matthew Van Der Poel?
That'd be awesome.
He's going to do well this week, isn't he?
How incredible would that be?
Themed.
All right. I think someone just dropped out. We'll give it a couple of more seconds for those that are listening to join in if they can. And then I'm going to hit the start button. Ollie's back in again. All right, we'll hit the start and we'll see what happens. Okay, this is how well do you know your Paris-Roubaix Zwift edition? So there are some Zwift questions in here.
Oh,
good luck, everyone.
All right, what is the total distance of the men's 2024 Paris-Roubaix?
Bloody hell, mate. You have to put them so close.
Yeah, why?
You've even got the decimal point.
Oh. That's ridiculous, man. You can't have them so close.
Yeah, you can. All right, Vince is off to an early start. That's good to see.
MVDP's above Rob.
Yes.
Yeah, stupid answers.
The pressure's on. Yeah. What is the longest route in Zwift?
Here we go.
Oh.
No, it's not.
Oh,
good gets, good gets. How did you go, Rob? Did you get that one?
I did, yeah. But yeah, I thought well it was done. The new Fondo route, which was longer. But
yeah, I was going to put that in, but yeah, I thought, no, I'd want to make it as confusing as possible. All right, Vincent's hit the front there, which is great to see. Mads, I hope to see you moving up soon.
No pressure.
Question number three. Mathieu van der Poel won the 2024 Paris-Roubaix, but who won it in 2023?
That's not him, by the way.
No, that's not him, Cobrelli, by the way. Isn't it? Yeah, yeah. I just love how they're all just caked in mud.
I've got one.
You got one?
Yay!
You picked one
I've
up?
I've got one.
Finally.
My research paid off.
Finally. Oh, Vincent's on fire. Rob's back on the leading board. Marky Mark second there. Good to see.
Neck and neck with Simon.
Yeah. All right, question number four. Maddie is currently at which Zwift level?
Here we go.
Does Maddie remember?
We can check to see whether you get this right or not too, by the way.
No, don't, please.
Two on the bounce.
Yes, she's at 74. Oh, Vincent's actually solidifying his lead there.
Sounds even faster than me.
Yeah. All right.
Come on, Rob.
We're getting there. All right. Next question. Question number five. In what year did the Paris-Roubaix first commence?
I was about to say it's going to be the 1800s. Oh, that's a guess.
They're all the 1800s.
I know. This is Nathan, isn't it?
It's like putting 1 year apart. Are you serious, man?
This is like the worst multiple choice.
I just love the stress that it induces.
Only one person got that right.
You can't make it easy. Oh, Mathieu van der Poel got it right. Here we go.
There he is.
He's making the break. Screaming over those questions. Next question. Question number six.
He's got the internet.
Who won the 2024 Paris-Roubaix Femmes avec Zwift?
Even me, I'm there. Sorry.
I thought that'd be a bit funny. All right. Yeah, Lotta Kopecky.
That would be really funny.
Well done, Lottie. Vincent. Hello. I bet you're starting to get nervous. Vincent, are you getting nervous? All right.
Well done, Vincent.
Yep. Question. And I bet you Matthew is frustrated now.
Question number seven.
Which Richmond cobbled climb or cobbled route is this?
It's got to be. I've got to have got that one right.
No, you probably haven't.
Oh, okay. No, I got it right.
Did you?
God.
See? Faith in me, Rob.
I just like the fact that you're getting shot down by Rob now instead of me. It's great.
Didn't take long, did it?
Oh, Marky Marks moved to the front.
Swifty's in it.
Look at this.
Oh, I'm on the podium.
Yeah. You might get a shot here. Question number eight. Maddie finished in which position in this year's Pontevedra?
I was like, are you going to pronounce the whole thing?
No, I'm not going to do it. All right. Yes, third. That's right. Sensational effort. Oh, Vincent's moved back to the front. Rob's in second now. Here we go. Here we go.
This is like my ramp up, like on the seaside sprint. You know, just ramp up at first, get the speed. You got the momentum, and then boom, take it at the finish.
Right.
Vincent's not going to know what's hit him.
We'll see if that happens, hey? Question number nine.
Yeah.
How many cobbled sections are there in the 2024 Paris-Roubaix?
Oh, yeah, you were kidding me.
I gave you the answer at the start of this.
You're kidding. One difference.
I gave you the answer at the start of this. If anyone who joined this at the start knew the answer. Look at this.
I got it right. Nathan. Good questions.
Yeah, well done. Rob, did you get it right?
Yeah.
Oh, then what are you complaining about?
Well, It's just a bit hard.
I'm thinking about Maddie, right. At this point is starting to question her life choices about.
Yeah, she's going, why did I join this for?
Yeah.
It's too late in the evening. I don't remember. My memory is.
It's just time for bed now. This is what it is.
Yeah, it's just three blokes arguing.
Yeah. All right. Final question, and I don't remember, but I think I might have made the final question double points.
Ooh.
It is a true or false, so I'll give you that much. Final question is double points. The Peru Bay is known as a day in hell.
It's got to be, surely.
Oh, no. What?
Oh, that is a... It's split the group as well.
The hell of the north.
Hell of the north, or it's a Sunday in hell.
All right.
Man, this is
tough, eh? Ooh, Marky Mark is in third. Who's in second?
Well done, Mark.
Jackson moved up.
Well done. First place goes to, of course,
Zwifty's done it again.
Kaboom.
I dare say Vincent's going to be very upset about leading that for most of the questions. Vincent. He's going to be chomping about this.
He's going to be furious about your day in hell thing.
Did he get it right, Vincent? Text us and let us know.
Well, he did, nearly. He went for Sunday in hell.
Yeah, no, it's definitely Hell of the North or, Sunday in hell, not a day in hell. So there we go. Hey, that's it, guys. I think we've reached the end of our this week's episode. Maddie, I've got to say thank you so much for joining us. It's been fantastic talking to you. I hope you've enjoyed it.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, no, it's definitely fun.
Yeah, it's been awesome to talk to you. Really, really good.
Something to pass the time. And we're definitely going to have you back on, especially when you do get that polka dot jersey. You gotta.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll be queuing to get back on the show.
no pressure. I gotta work now.
That's right.
Yeah, it's gonna happen, buddy. I can tell you got that drive.
Yeah,
it's gonna happen.
And so, you did mention you've got your next race. That's next week. You said.
No, this weekend, Sunday.
This weekend. Oh, right. Okay, great. So, well, we'll definitely look out for that as well. How do you think you'll go? Any premonitions?
Oh, I don't know. I've done this race twice before, but new team, new environment, new teammates.
So you're going to smash it then?
See how it goes.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to. My main focus will be focusing on positioning. So if I can get past that, then the rest will follow.
Yeah.
Then I'll be okay.
Well, good luck.
Yep. No, it should be fantastic.
Thanks so much for coming. It's been fantastic.
And, Ryan, you got any final comments?
Only that I am very, very pleased to be part of the team. Thank you for a very, very warm welcome. It's been awesome to have my first show with Maddie. It's been really, really enjoyable talking to you. So
very auspicious.
Yeah, thank you. And I would say as well, anyone that didn't catch it earlier, check out the links that I've put in the chat and have a read of that article that's on Maddie's Instagram account.
Yep, that's fantastic. Rob, bring us home, buddy.
Well, yeah, if you like that, then hit the subscribe button and keep an eye out for Maddie on the Pro European Tour. I'm sure it'll be coming soon. And, in polka dots, remember, you saw it here first.
Yep. And so next week, guys, we've got Eric Lee, who's been in the chat. Eric Lee from Don't Get Top Cycling. He is going to be joining us finally because, we haven't been asking enough. He's going to be joining us finally on the show. And we'll have a chat with him and check him out. So I'll drop his YouTube channel in the link below. Who is this dude, he says.
We are tired of getting dropped.
Yeah, and we'll find out what makes him tick. All right, guys. Well, that's it. Again, Maddie, thank you very much for joining us. Everyone that was in the chat, there's so many people. Eric, Marky Mark, Vincent, Lee was in there, June. Thanks very much. Ollie, everyone else, Arctic Swifter. So, guys.
Madri.
Yep. Simon Jenkins. Jonathan Huber.
Michael. Yeah.
Thanks very much, guys. We'll wind up there and keep in the drops.
Awesome.
Yay.
Well done.
Bye.
Thank you, Maddie.